All right, think about your accomplishments. What are things that you have accomplished? Some achievements, large and small, right? So small could just be a house project you finished. Large could be like a book you published. What are accomplishments, achievements you have made in life? Graduate college. Yeah, that's a huge accomplishment. That's wonderful. What else? Raised your children without killing them. Yeah, it's fantastic. And you can say that because you haven't killed them. So, what's that? Your IRS certification. Patty does taxes. God bless you for that. yeah, this is a huge accomplishment. What are other accomplishment and achievements you guys have done? Praise God. Yeah, your certification, which lots of prayer and anguish. And the last time, like the second to last time you went, right, like they canceled it because the internet didn't work because it was probably 2020, right? Sorry, it's 2020, no internet. What else? What are other things you've accomplished, achieved? You know you've had them. Let's see if anyone online has accomplished anything. Oh, that's terrible. That sounds awful. Oh, Reed is over on YouTube. He says, I won 3 writing contests in my lifetime. One of them was for me. So it was about a robot snake. It's good stuff. Who was a cop. So let's see. I'm not seeing anyone on Facebook commenting, but that might just be because of slow internet. I'll come back to this in a second. We've accomplished things. And one of the nice things about accomplishing things, right, making wonderful jewelry, having a successful marriage, raising kids well, it's nice when people praise us for those accomplishments, right? Right, you win an award at school, you do well on a test, you get a job that no one thought you could have possibly gotten, you do a home improvement project, right? All that stuff. And people praise you. And you know, rightfully so. That's a right response. When people see your accomplishments and they praise you for that. And they'll say things like, I wish I was that creative, or I wish I was that smart, or hey, good job on what you did there. And hey, I'm really impressed that you were able to get this, right? Or I'm impressed that you were able to figure this out. Good job. And it's right to enjoy that praise. It's not wrong. And it's a nice thing. Yes, let's bask in the glory of that moment of praise. Whenever people say things, oh, how did you raise such good kids? Why, thank you. Do they compliment you that way, Andrew? That's good. This was your opportunity to throw one of them under the bus. Right, it's enjoyable when we've accomplished things to receive that praise. As believers in Christ, what should we do when people praise us for our accomplishments? It's okay to accept it. It's okay to receive it. But what should believers do when people praise us for our accomplishment, for our achievements? How do we respond? What do we do? So we come over to I got some over here. Some other accomplishments online. Nathan Butler says, it wasn't Nathan. His son Alex said, cleaning my bedroom. Yes, that is an accomplishment. Amen. Good job, Alex. Air high five. Seriously, you need to teach my children. Mike and Barbie say, to pray and lead someone to the Lord. Absolutely, that is an accomplishment. We all have accomplishments. You know, my accomplishment, like, when I was like 16 years old, I wrote a book. It's the only one I've ever written. But man, I used that as a pickup line and it finally worked. You know, I wrote a book, right? Oh, really? Like how many 16-year-olds, 18-year-olds would say, oh, I wrote a whole book, regardless of whether it was published or not. But how many can say that, right? Like, and I could back it up. I had the manuscript and there were many young ladies who got a giant manuscript and me trying to pick them up is really sad. Don't shake your head like that. It's all I had. It is very sad. And if you read the book, you realize how even sadder it was. It's amazing I found someone to marry. So we go back into the book of Acts. And in Acts 1 and 2, we saw that in the midst of the powerlessness of the disciples to do anything that Jesus told them to do, go and change the world. Go bring the kingdom of God wherever you go. I'm leaving. Woo-woo. what? He sends the Holy Spirit. He empowers them. People's lives are changed. And so we go to chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple for a time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so that he could beg from those who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Okay, so we got Peter and John, two of the apostles. Says it's about 3 in the afternoon, and there's a guy who is lame from birth, so couldn't walk, which I know. We need a better translation word than lame, because I'm a child of the 90s. There was a lame guy there, man. He didn't even lift, bro. It's really wrong that my brain goes there immediately. I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you where it's at. But he can't walk. And so they set up, he has people who set him there to beg, and it's in front of the gate called Beautiful. Dr. Luke writes this down in order to say, this is a historical event that actually happened. You can go research the facts for yourself, to his original audience. If you want to go to Jerusalem, you can go and you can find. And was there a lame beggar here in the gate Beautiful, right? And yes, there was, right? This is rooted in history. It's not mythological. If you read some of the mythologies of days past, they don't go into this specificity because they're supposed to be like timeless. This is not timeless. This is rooted in time. It actually happened. So he sees Peter and John about to enter the temple. He asks them for money. Okay, you guys have experienced this before, right? You're busy on your way to go somewhere and you see someone begging for money. Or you're on the road, you're driving, and then right at the light, right where you have to stop, there's someone and they come with a sign that pulls at your heartstrings. You know, we'll work for money. Oh, I have kids. I need your money, right? And you're just like over there. I don't know. You're probably more holy than me, but I'm just like, oh, look what's over there, pretending like I haven't seen anyone, right? As they're like at the window knocking, what's that sound? I hear it rapping at my door, right? That's what happens. And or you're walking somewhere and someone's begging for money. And if you want to stop and give them money, it's going to take some time and it's going to cost you something to do that, right? We experience that a little bit in Northern Michigan, but you experience having to stop to help someone on a regular basis. If you genuinely want to help someone, it is always going to be difficult. It is always going to cost you something. It's never like easy. It never comes at a convenient time when a friend calls up and says, hey, my car broke down. I need a ride to work. And you're like, wow, I was just enjoying my life. I was wondering, praying to God, God, give me someone to help right in this moment. I have nothing to do with my life right now. Is that how it happens? No, it's never convenient when someone calls you up for a ride. Someone, I need you to watch my kids because I got to go to work and their school is closed, right? And you're like, oh, thank goodness. I have nothing else to do with my day, right? I don't have a job and I don't have things to go and I don't have my own kids. It always happens. Or someone needs help paying for utilities. And, you know, I'm not advocating necessarily giving money, but walking them through the process of getting help and working with the utility company. That takes time. It takes energy. It never comes at a convenient time. What were Peter and John going to do? They're going to pray, right? This guy's over here begging. Could have just walked by, right? As undoubtedly thousands of people did. It takes time and energy to stop and engage. When you choose to help people, it always takes time. It always costs energy. But they stop. Verse 4. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, look at us. So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. So they could have just walked on by. Well, we're going to pray. It's too important. But he was begging for them. He's, look at us. And I don't have money to give you, but what I do have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And we know that he did this in the power of the Spirit. We know that Peter did this in the name of Jesus. And the man was healed. It was a miracle. You know what this is like. Maybe not a miracle. And as I've said multiple times, and I think this text demonstrates, it doesn't prove, I think large part miracles are there to demonstrate the truthfulness of the gospel message that's being given. You go to a people who have no reason to believe the gospel, and you perform a miracle in the name of Jesus, and then they're like, wow, Jesus is powerful. I think that's one of the primary functions of miracles in the New Testament that we see. But maybe not a miracle, but you know what it is to have talents and gifts and abilities and achievements and using those things to help other people, right? A great number of you have gone out and helped build wheelchair ramps, have gone out and helped put roofs on houses. That takes time. It takes energy. And it takes sacrifice, right? You're using your time, talents, and gifts in order to help someone. So many of you have talked to people who others have dismissed, who won't give them the time of day, and yet you've chosen to share the love of Christ with them, like Mike and Barbie said, sharing the love of Christ with someone, leading someone to the Lord. You've chosen to use your time, talent, and ability to change their lives forever. Sometimes you've helped people if they didn't have a place to stay. You've let them stay at your home temporarily. Some of you have helped people figure out how to work their finances. If they're like, man, what can I do? And you sit down and you work with their finances. You use your time, your abilities, your gifts in order to help people, whether it's in a small way or to ultimately change their lives. You know what it's like to do what Peter and John did, even if it wasn't a miracle. You chose to stop and help your kids, your parents, your neighbors, your relatives. And it has changed, even in a small way, the trajectory of their lives. That's what they did. They had this ability given to them from the Holy Spirit, just as you have abilities given to you from God the Holy Spirit. And they have come, and it's changed. You've used them to help them, and it's changed their lives. So this man is healed. Verse 9, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what happened to him. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran toward them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. So again, this is rooted in history. He's saying this is where this happened. Dr. Luke is writing about this. So what we'll see here, and then it's the next section, the people assume that the power to heal this man came from Peter and John. And they are praising them for everything that they did. Wow, look at this. It's amazing. You have the ability to heal. This is good. And what do Peter and John do? Bask in the glory of the praise. Yes, thank you. Oh, it's so good. All right. And why shouldn't they? Like, really, why? I mean, seriously, why shouldn't they? They didn't have to stop. They didn't have to stop. They could have just, you know, a guy, you know, beggar, huh? Just do what I do when I'm just keep driving. They didn't have to stop. They didn't have to use their time and gifts. They could have, I don't have silver or gold. They probably had some copper pieces, though. You know, give them some copper. they could have given them some of that money and then just kept walking. And then, oh, wow, cool, I got what I wanted, right? So they use their gifting in order to help this man, and now people are praising them for it. Ah, yes. Yes, it is. Doesn't it feel good to be praised for your work? Anyone ever work at a job where you were not praised for the work that you were doing? Anyone ever do that? Yeah? Thank you for not raising your hand, Beth. Chelsea, well, I assume you haven't only worked here, but still. Like, I've worked at jobs where you just, like, labor. Any of you in relationships where you're not? No. you're not appreciated for your work. But it is so demoralizing, almost dehumanizing, when you labor and labor and labor and no one cares. And truthfully, you probably don't stay at that job for too long. You don't. Eventually, you find another job and you're like, I can't. I mean, unless they're paying you a bucket of money, but if they don't appreciate you and your work, you're out. It's nice to be praised. These guys are, the crowd is praising Peter and John. What should we do when people praise us for our accomplishments? The big ones, the little ones. Great job raising those kids. Good job on that job you got. Thank you for doing a nice job in this home improvement project. Thank you for helping me. I wish I was that creative. How could I be that good of a parent? I wish I was that strong. How did you get so strong? What should we do when people praise us for our accomplishments? What does Peter do? What does John do?
Verse 12, when Peter saw this, he addressed the people. Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we made him walk by our own power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders also did. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that the seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, whom has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Heaven must receive him until the time of the restoration of all things which God spoke about through his holy prophets from the beginning. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers and sisters. You must listen to everything he tells you, and everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people. In addition, all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those after him have foretold of these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors, saying to Abraham, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through your offspring. God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways. He points them to Jesus. Instead of just basking in the glory, and don't get me wrong, it's good to get praise. But instead of saying, yes, woohoo, Peter uses that opportunity to point them to Jesus. He does it in a sermon. Don't worry, the big idea is not when you have an accomplishment, you have to preach a whole sermon. But he takes the opportunity as people are praising them, as people are astonished, to point them to Jesus. What should we do when people praise our accomplishments? And it happens, and it's good, and it's good to enjoy that praise. But when people praise our accomplishments, big or small, from our home improvement projects to our children to our work accomplishments to everything else in life, use it as an opportunity to point people to Jesus. Maybe it works as a sermon. Probably for most of us, it's not going to look like a sermon. But it can be something like, you think of like Kurt Warner when he won MVP for Super Bowl all those years ago, right? And they're like, you just won MVP. How in the world did you do that, right? And he took a step and he said, first things first, I have to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. And then he talked about everything else, right? Like he didn't just be like, well, I'm going to go preach a sermon here. But he used it as an opportunity to point people to Jesus. And it's paused everything. I remember I was a teenager when that happened, and I remember like, what am I watching? This is incredible. It was the one year my youth group decided not to watch the Super Bowl together. It was like, oh man, what an opportunity. I couldn't believe it. It is utterly incredible. If you get an award at work, use an opportunity. Thank you guys. I've worked hard for this, and you have worked hard for this, and I'm just really appreciative of the gifts that God has given me in Jesus Christ, right? Just can be something small. Someone comes along and says, you're such a good parent. All your kids turned out well. I wish I could be a parent like you. And, you don't pretend like, well, it was all God, because you had to work, but he empowered your work. And you tell them, like, you know what? We worked hard to raise our kids, but really God empowered us to be able to make the decisions we had. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't have been able to raise these kids the way we were. You get a raise at work. Yeah, we've seen that you're such a good, hard worker. I had a boss years ago. He's like, I don't understand. He's a really old, crabby, old school boss, liked to throw things and hurl abusive comments to everyone. Why is it? Are you so bleeping, working hard? Bleep, bleep, bleep. I don't understand. All these other kids. And I missed that opportunity, but the right opportunity, because I'm like, yeah, I'm awesome. The correct opportunity would have been said, well, and the truth was, it was, well, I follow Jesus and everything I do needs to be working as if to God. As simple as that. Or it could be more concrete. You're helping someone out and, well, why are you helping me build this wheelchair ramp? Why are you bringing water to the school every single week for the elementary school? Why are you handing out these meal after meal after meal? Well, I'm doing it because there's a God in heaven who sent his son Jesus Christ to die for me and rose again. And he has called us to bring the kingdom of God into this world, to reveal it to us. And that's what I'm doing. Do you want to hear more? As simple as that. What's different about you? I've gotten that when I was not working at churches all the time, and actually still when I go places. What's so different about you? I'm a Christian. Do you want to hear more? Do you want to hear more about my beliefs? And they might say no, fine. They might say yes, and then you can share. Peter and John used the gifting that they had, the abilities that they had in the Holy Spirit, to help somebody else, and they were praised for it. When you are praised for your achievements, use it as an opportunity to point people to Jesus. It might be a big, long sermon. It might just be a real quick thing. But use it as an opportunity to point people to Jesus. And what was the result? Well, the immediate result is they got into trouble, but we're going to look at that next week. But look at chapter 4, verse 4. Just jump to there. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men who came to about 5,000. 5,000 people heard and believed. Look at the, it's a little bit of a sexist way that they counted back then. Not totally as 100%, like women don't count, right? So they're only counting the men. It was a little sexist the way they did it, but men back then typically occupied more of the public space. And also, if you're thinking about having to count a crowd of 5,000, right? Like, that's a lot of work. So if you only count the men because they dressed like vastly different between men and women back then, it was easier and quicker. So Dr. Luke was just following their counting procedures. Little sexist, but not as sexist as it seems. But there's, 5,000 people there that heard the message. 5,000 people were able to hear it. What should we do when people praise us for our achievements? Point people to Jesus. Point people to Jesus. Wow, what great craftsmanship. What a great artist. Point them to Jesus. It can be subtle. It can be small. But use the opportunity to point them to Jesus. Singing artists, Derek Webb and Sandra McCracken, were married for a time. Derek Webb, you might know him from the 90s group Cadiman's Call. Or Cadiman's Call. I never figured out. Anybody know the proper pronunciation of that? It was huge for a while. And Sandra McCracken has had a solo career for a while. Both of them are phenomenal musicians. And they made some beautiful, beautiful worship music together. Derek, not terribly long ago, walked away from the Lord, and their marriage dissolved. And they are both still phenomenal musicians. They both are, and they're still making music, and they are both rightly praised for their musical abilities. Here's the thing, though. Derek, when he is praised for his musical ability, why, thank you. He appreciates it, he receives it, and that's the end of it. That's the end of it. It's very fleeting. When we just receive praise for our achievements, it lasts, and it's wonderful, but then it's gone, and then you're like, huh. Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? It's like Christmas morning when you're a kid. It's like you've opened up everything. You've still got a whole bunch of stuff you haven't even played with, and you're like, Right? It's over. It's fleeting, and it's gone. Sandra McCracken, who's still making music, just released an album, I think this past Tuesday. I've been listening to it all week. She uses her craft, her ability, her talent to point people to Jesus constantly. And a beautiful musician, Sandra McCracken, go look it up. Go look her up. Fantastic music. And she points people to Jesus. The difference between Derek and Sandra is Derek's praise is just fleeting. But what Sandra does is when she's praised, she points people to Jesus. And do you know what that does? That not only affects eternity, and it does, but it affects her for the rest of this lifetime. Because by pointing people to Jesus, by introducing them to Jesus, by encouraging them in their walk with Jesus, you know what happens? When she goes places now, they're like, hey, I heard you in concert 5 years ago, and I got to tell you, you changed my life. I started following Jesus instead of following myself, and it really changed the whole aspect of my life. And that happens over and over and over again. Look at what happened here with Peter and John. There's 5,000 people there. Can you imagine in the years, the decades that went by, as they're going around, as they're ministering the gospel, as they're living their lives, as they're doing the things that they're calling it. Maybe Peter's going out and he's fishing one time and he happens to be on a boat and a guy turns to him and he's like, you're Peter, aren't you? Yeah, I'm Peter. I heard you preach a message I saw what you guys did these years ago, and you preached a message, and I didn't believe at that moment, but you know what? I listened to it, and then someone else came along, and then I believed, and it changed my life. Thank you for preaching that message. How many times do you think, just from this one instance, do you think John and Peter ran into people that said, thank you for sharing? Hey, I heard your message that day, and I'm a believer because of that. I bet you it happened for decades. And they're like, I don't even recognize you. Yeah, but I recognize you, and you changed the course of my life because you chose to use your achievement to point people to Jesus and saying, yep, that's right. I got the Holy Spirit, and I healed everybody. Woohoo! Instead, they said, no, we aren't the power people. This was done in the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus. Trust in him. They used their accomplishment to point people to Jesus. How often do you think that happens? If you use your accomplishments, and if you haven't in the past, don't feel guilty. Start to now. Use your accomplishment, use your achievement, and when people praise you, take a moment, even if it's 15 seconds, point them to Jesus. It will change the lives of people around you. And it will not only change their lives, it actually extends the praise beyond the moment. And you get something more than just personal praise. You get friends over the course of years and decades. Praise lasts for a moment. Pointing people to Jesus lasts for a lifetime. Let's pray. Father, we lift up to you our congregation. I lift up to you my congregation right now, Lord. They have so many achievements as I look out at them, and they are so creative, so hardworking, so industrious, so sacrificially serving others. I pray for me, I pray for us, that we will take those moments of praise when people are praising our accomplishments. And true, we enjoy the praise, and it's not wrong to, but we use it as an opportunity to point people to Jesus. Even if it's short, even if it's brief, or even if it's long. And I pray that as we point people to Jesus, that will pay dividends. As we point people to Jesus and say, you know, I'm able to do this because Christ has given me this ability. Come to church and find out. Come to church and find out how you can serve in such a way. Let me share with you where my strength and my energy comes from. That comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for us, Lord. Help reorient our minds the way you reoriented Peter and John's minds to take the praise and point people to Jesus. Thank you for all the gifting you've given us. Help us to discover the gifts you've given us more and more, and help us to use them for you, for your glory, and to further your kingdom here on earth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.